From the other. Svabhava.
Svabhava.
Habit.
Habit.
Upahanyate.
Upahanyate.
Develops.
Develops.
According to the different modes of material nature, the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of darkness, there are different living creatures who are known as demigods, human beings, and hellish living entities. O king, even a particular mode of nature, being mixed with the other two, is divided into three. And thus each kind of living creature is influenced by the other modes and acquires its habits also. Purport. The living entities individually are being conducted by a particular mode of nature. But at the same time, there's every chance of their being influenced by the other two. Generally, all conditioned souls in the material engagement, are influenced by the mode of passion because every one of them is trying to lord it over the material nature to fulfill his individual desire. But in spite of the individual mode of passion, there's always the chance of being influenced by the other modes of nature, by association. If one is in good association, he can develop the mode of goodness. And if in bad association, he may develop the mode of darkness or ignorance. Nothing is stereotyped. One can change his habit by good or bad association. And one has to become intelligent enough to discriminate between good and bad. The best association is the service of the devotees of the Lord. And by that association, one can become the highest qualified man by the grace of the Lord's pure devotees. As you've already seen in the life of Srila Narada Muni, he became the topmost devotee of the Lord simply by the association of pure devotees of the Lord. By birth, he was the son of a maidservant and had no knowledge of his father and no academic education, even of the lowest status. But simply by associating with the devotees and by eating the remnants of their foodstuff, he gradually developed the transcendental qualities of the devotees. By such association, his taste for chanting and hearing the transcendental glories of the Lord became prominent. And because the glories of the Lord are non-different from the Lord, he got direct association with the Lord by means of sound representation. Simply, there is the life of a Jamiya, since Kanto, who was the son of a Brahmana, and was educated and trained properly in the discharge of the duties of a Brahmana, but who, in spite of all this, because he contacted the bad association of a prostitute, was put into the path of the lowest quality of Chandala, or the last position for a human being. Therefore, the Bhagavatam always recommends the association of the Mahat, or the great soul, for opening the gate of salvation. To associate with persons engaged in lording it over the material world means to enter into the darkest region of hell. One should try to raise himself by the association of the great soul. That is the way of the perfection of life. Translation again. According to the different modes of material nature, the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of darkness, there are different living creatures who are known as demigods, human beings, and hellish living entities. O king, even a particular mode of nature, being mixed with the other two, is divided into three. And thus each kind of living creature is influenced by the other modes and acquires its habits also. Om Agyana Timidam Nasyaganam Janashlapya Chakshumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We get valuable information in this verse and purport that every conditioned soul is generally conducted by a particular mode of nature, but at the same time, you get influenced by the other two. So in spite of your basic tendency to be attracted to a particular mode of nature due to circumstances of your birth, circumstances of your birth means a particular type of body and its inclinations that you have based on your desires and activities in your past life. So, that's your general makeup. The body, meaning physical and subtle, which is predisposed towards certain influences from the modes of nature. That's the basic stuff you're bringing to the table of material existence. You should understand first, what are you bringing to the table? You're bringing to the table your bag of predispositions based on your activities and desires from your past life. So the body you have now is predisposed to be under the gun of a particular mode of nature. But then there are also the other modes too. So it's not like, oh, since my body is particularly under the gun of goodness or passion, therefore, that's it. Now, you're also open to influence from the other modes, as Prabhupada explains here. The living entities individually are being conducted by a particular mode of nature. But at the same time, there is every chance of their being influenced by the other two. And how does that every chance come about? By association. And as you all know, to seriously practice Krishna consciousness, you have to be very careful about association. Association means associating with the hearing and chanting process. That's the basis of Vaishnava association. So when you yearn for the association of devotees, understand that the crux of that association is the hearing and chanting process. Through the Vaishnavas, you're associating with the hearing and chanting process. And with that hearing and chanting process in the center of your association, then there can be camaraderie, relaxation, give and take, exchanges. That's all part of glorifying Krishna. Naturally, you want to resonate with devotees who are glorifying Krishna. But always remember, the center, the crux, is glorifying Krishna. Without that, everything goes flat. You let the air out of a tire. When the glorification of Krishna is there, then the tire is full of air and the car can roll. But as soon as you take out the glorification of Krishna, all the tires go flat. And then your spiritual life starts to feel like you're driving a car with flat tires. And then you start to wonder what's going on. The taste is not there anymore. Everything is such an ordeal. It must be the process. You never consider that. You let the air out of the tires, therefore you're having a bit of difficulty driving in the car. The effect of the modes of nature is very sinister. Krishna explains it in Bhagavad Gita. Karnam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. The living entity stumbling through the material world, being affected by the modes of nature. The living entity is just foolishly stumbling around town, thinking, oh, now I'm meeting with good, now I'm meeting with bad. The whole scene is fomented by the modes of material nature. The whole scene is just put forth. It's a brew put forth by modes of material nature. And then what do? You get inundated by that brew. And you say, this is me. In other words, that particular brew of the modes of material nature, that's covering you. You call yourself, me and my hobbies and my talents and my likes and dislikes, what we hold on so tightly to, is just a brew, a concoction that's covering us completely. That is the workings of the modes of material nature. Karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janasya. The cause, the karana, is gunasanga, association with the gunas. That's the cause. Even of our personal identity, how we think of ourselves, how we think of others. It takes a while to understand this because, you know, in material life, people are really caught up with themselves. Oh, this is what I feel. This is what I'm like, you know. These are my predilections. What are yours? Doesn't that make for interesting conversation for a while? I'm sure you all engage in that at some point. Well, you know, the way I am. You know, the way my personality is. What are your likes and dislikes? Let me tell you about mine. So when times aren't extremely bad, human beings like to relish each other's material identity. Of course, when times get really distressful, then everyone just tries to survive. This kind of information we're getting here helps us to be detached from our material conception of ourselves. And that's important in order to be peaceful in Krishna consciousness. You may notice devotees who really are attached to their material identity, they get agitated a lot in this association with devotees. They're disturbed. They take everything as a personal attack or a personal affront. And they see others in the same way. But as you become more purified in Krishna consciousness, you just kind of chill out a bit. And, you know, don't press the nuclear button. You know, you count to 10. And because, you know, you understand that material existence, and we are spirit soul in material existence. Material existence is just a swirling ocean of influence from the modes of material nature. Gunasanga, association with the modes of nature, means your very body, your very mind, your very conceptions. That's how all pervasive the modes are in material existence. Therefore, we need a program how to cope with these modes of material nature. That's understanding the way reality works. It can seem to be a real tough deal, which we dealt ourselves. We dealt ourselves a difficult hand. I never played cards, but anyway. sounds appropriate. We dealt ourselves a difficult hand. And then what do? We turn around and blame God. If there actually is a God, how could you have ever done such a thing to put me in this place? No, Krishna did everything to keep us from getting to this situation. But we have our independence. That is an essential point to understand. We have our independence. Now, once you understand the material existence as an ocean of the modes of material nature. That's an amazing thing. How to separate your true identity from all your coverings. And of course, the coverings are just products of the modes. But once you get that amazing understanding, then the next amazing understanding is Krishna can come to this material world and be completely untouched by the modes of nature. He can sport, he can play, he can fight, and not have the slightest trace of influence in the modes of nature, although he's in this material world. So these two points take a lifetime of study and contemplation based on active service. If you're going to truly grasp them, karnam guna sangasya sada sadyam chandasya. How is it? The modes of material nature are just everything except the spirit soul. Everything except the spirit soul. Mind, intelligence, body, matter, emotions, thoughts, beliefs, all the modes of material nature. I wonder how many of you understand the depths of this knowledge about the modes of material nature. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, in that chapter, the three modes, Krishna says, if you really understand this, certainly you'll become free from material existence. And then, if you understand that Krishna can come to this material world and be totally untouched by the modes, then the Lord says, after giving up the present body, you'll go back to Godhead. You can understand how it is and why it is that Krishna can come to this world and not be affected at all, although he's acting in so many ways. Krishna's dancing with the gopis, he's fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, driving Arjuna's chariot, he's killing demons, he's loving his mother, father, sporting with his friends. All these activities which resemble human affairs but are without the slightest touch of material influence. So these are the things we have to work on, and it's a lifetime career. The last point I'd like to leave you with is just consider how valuable this information is that you're in. It's like this verse and purport we just read. Priceless information. Suppose you had gotten this information when you were 12 or 13 years old and you had taken it seriously. It saves us so much trouble. Otherwise, what do you expect people to do without this knowledge? Just go to a church and surrender to their local priest or minister? They're not doing that. Without this knowledge, what are your choices? Passion and ignorance, that's it. Not even goodness. There's no knowledge of mode of goodness these days. So your choices are, make a lot of money and please your body. And you should please your body in any way that has the possibility of giving a good feeling. Why not? What else is there to do? They don't know anything else. Make a lot of money, work hard to do that. It's like I was receiving a... just got a message from one devotee who's... he's doing his PhD. Vaishnava studies at which university is he at? I don't remember. So, he was saying, you know, looking around me, the students and professors, actually when I think about it, it's inconceivable. What do these professors get? He said they work 80 to 100 hours a week, most of them, studying something that few people are interested in. Their pay is low, their job security is really shaky, they work alone, they're, you know, they get so absorbed that their family life becomes affected, their friendships become affected, spend 80 to 100 hours a week just in their little cubby hole and office just figuring out some subject matter which few people are interested in. Did you all that? Such austerity. Now imagine if we did that for Krishna. 80 to 100 hours a week for Krishna. Even without popular understanding. We're so absorbed that we don't even focus on our bodily relations, family and friends. This is what professors do all the time. That's what this devotee was telling me. Of course, this is the humanities. Maybe it's different in the technical fields.
probably not.
What is the sublime subject you'll be delving into?
Semantic technologies for navigating the web. Using ontologies.
So much brain power is going to be put into this. Will it be 80 to 100 a week for you? All right.
Well, PhD students can do whatever they want. Right. Professors are more absorbed than they were.
Professors are?
More absorbed in their particular. Each professor has a research group that they're leading.
Their niche market. So just see the absorption, the sacrifice. No popularity, unless you're a rare professor who publishes a book that, you know, they're famous as you are the authority. You're isolated from your family and friends, studying an esoteric subject that few understand. Like, how many dinner tables can you sit down at and start talking about this? Yeah, I'd just like to share something I was working on today. Yeah, you can't do it. But people will do that. They'll go through those austerities. But if you say, focus on Krishna, you know, so many hours a week of focusing on Krishna. Too much. So in the academic world, the ultimate is to be a tenured professor. Then you're in completely. You're beyond all the shake-ups.
Pretty much. Yeah.
But to get that, you got to fight, you know? Yeah, you got to fight off a pack of dogs, practically. Otherwise, you don't know. Once you are an official professor, you've made it through the assistant stages and this and that, you've got all your dictas. You know, then, you know, you're like, you can be the lousiest professor, you know, but you have your position, you know. As long as the university exists, you exist, right? So this is just one example of how people can act with determination. And why do we feel hesitant when Krishna just asks a little bit from us? People are suffering without this knowledge. You can make a difference. You are making a difference. If they would just read this one verse in purport. Or as Prabhupada said, they just read one line. Generally, all conditioned souls in the material engagement are influenced by the mode of passion because every one of them is trying to lord it over the material nature to fulfill his individual desire. There is the perfect ecological understanding. People are so ecology concerned these days. They don't understand what's really going on in material nature. They don't understand nature. Just this one line can cause someone to think so much. you don't know how it's going to turn out. I went to the Czech Republic 2 days ago. The first time since the 80s, I had never seen it without the communists there. And it was the most, back in the communist days, it was the most difficult country. We had underground preaching going on in every country in Eastern Europe, but not the former Czechoslovakia. So difficult. Materially intelligent people, but just non-religious speculators, non-religious intellectuals. Nothing for years, nothing. And then, almost 20 years later, really like 25, quarter of a century since you really tried to get something going there in the old communist days. As I was just about to leave, they handed me a mobile phone, and on the line was someone who I had cultivated as a young boy in 1978. And, you know, we tried our best to get a Krishna conscious. Really lavished him, and I wrote to him, this and that, and then, you know, just disappear. And he said, "You know, you remember me, don't you?" Yeah, you know, he's one of the biggest neurosurgeons in Czech Republic. That, but yeah, you know, he's fully initiated devotee, chanting Zikzira. And then his mother also became. So just the night before, I had been explaining to the Czech devotees, we couldn't get anything going in this country in the late 70s and 80s. Just nothing. We went here and there. We couldn't get anyone to be Krishna conscious. And then, oh, do you remember me? Do you remember 1979? Used to try to help me. So, this is the life. If you want to teach Krishna consciousness, you got to get used to that. Then, of course, there are also the heartbreaks. Someone who's practiced Krishna consciousness for a while, succumbing to Maya. That happens. It shakes you a bit. Oh. How could that happen? See if he was doing everything right for 10 years and that. We all have our independence. So Krishna consciousness is a constant quest to make proper use of your independence. And then ultimately by making the proper choices with your independence, you become so attracted to Krishna, that attraction for Krishna becomes revived. Any questions?
Very much. Prabhupada's spoken about this and alluded to this, but I haven't actually read it myself. I was wondering if you could confirm this. That, I've heard it said that Prabhupada said that most of our advancement in Krishna consciousness is our association.
He said association is very important. The direct statement he said is 90% of your advancement in Krishna consciousness comes from your japa. Doesn't mean association is not important. Based on your association, you'll consider chanting your japa important or not. You notice how easy it is to focus japa when you're on others who have that sense of mission? But as soon as you're on your own, then, you know, your mind is just woozy and...
Furthermore, very much, when we're doing Sankirtan, we want to give our association, as you've always said, and not take association. And you're talking a little bit about that in the consciousness, but we want to be giving Krishna conscious association to the people that we're the only way to study books to cultivate. And to be, what to do, to be always on guard of not taking association.
Keep your Krishna conscious intelligence sharp through hearing and chanting. Learn to see the world the way it actually is. Analyze your desires. When desires come to you, take a deep look at them. Why should I feel like this? What's it? What's there? What's the value? What will be the result? Every time Maya makes a proposition to you, you take a deep look at it. Oh, really, huh? It's going to be that good, huh? Really think so, huh? Alright. Ordinarily, I would be attracted to this, but I have to consider, what about this? What about this? What about this? But ultimately, where will Krishna be? Sorry. Can't do it. You have to know how to fight back. The nature of this material world is to be under attack. Just like if you were living in, you know, Israel or something, you know, people expect there are going to be suicide bombers, this, that, the other. It's just always going to be going on. So it's like, really, you have to expect this life in this world. You have to know how to defend yourself. What I'm emphasizing today is that you should be excited about this knowledge you're giving out. See, Prabhupada's books, they're so amazing. They have everything for both the beginner and the most advanced devotee, all packed into the same books. Unique, completely unique in that way. Therefore, you can always just keep reading these books and you'll see more and more and more. Not only that, you'll start to feel connection to the super soul. Because these books are so pure. When you read them, you'll feel you're in contact with the super soul. Anything else?
There's a saying in that working world, don't bring your promise to work.
Don't what?
Bring your promise to work. Sometimes, you know, we're talking about the modes of material nature.
Speak louder.
So sometimes we're talking about the modes of material nature. And sometimes, you know, type, in an ashram situation like this, the modes of material nature affect us in different ways. And a lot of the time, they can, the worst thing that they do is they damage our relationships and how we interact with each other. Therefore, morale goes down and stuff like that. What can we do individually and collectively to try and prevent that from happening and also cure it when it does?
Always try to help each other in Krishna consciousness. Help each other in terms of the service. How are you feeling? You know, you're in good health. Look out to see. Be on the lookout to see how you can make your fellow devotee's life easier. Just that attitude does a lot towards transcending the inevitable, you know, misunderstandings that will always be there due to living in this world. We're not utopians, you know. We're practical. That's why it's very good just to have a simple life. There's not too much to argue about, is there? Is there? Yeah? Is there that much to argue about? I'm going to go back. Our main activity is to study the books, chant Hare Krishna, distribute the books. This is an honest brahmachari program. We don't try to, you know, artificially promise you anything else. If you want to go at this for a while or even go the distance, this is, you know, you'll see this is what you have to deal with. Very purifying. So whether you're in this for a few years or in this for the distance, it's very purifying. You're working on yourself. That's the best profession, the best occupation. So don't just think, oh, there's nothing else going on, it's just simple activities. No, you are the number one occupation, sorting yourself out. It's a rare opportunity. And you get that opportunity by the association of the other devotees. So as much as they may rub us the wrong way sometimes, the fact is, it's by their presence that we are getting an opportunity to work on ourselves. We need them, even though sometimes we don't like them. You ever get that feeling? You need the Prabhus, even though sometimes you don't like them. I wish this Prabhu would just bug off. This Prabhu is always in my face, you know? I mean, we always got something to get rubbed the wrong way about. They don't understand. I'm just a new bhakta. Why don't they just back off? They don't understand. I am the oldest devotee. Why don't they back off? It's always this, that, the other. They don't understand. I'm not as physically strong as the other one. I'm not as philosophical as the other one. On and on it goes. Of course, we try to make room here for individual styles. Nevertheless, the basic reality we're all coping with. There's not much to argue about. There's just whether or not I have it in me to care for suffering people. Whether I have it in me to dedicate my life to mastering my mind and senses, developing devotional qualities. And the amazing thing is, of course, it's not that another lifestyle will be devoid of these things. Like I was explaining to you about this devotee who's telling about the professors and their lifestyle. Was it Balakrishna's mother? She took up Krishna consciousness at a young age. Very young age, I guess 17 or 18 or something like that. Now she's a school teacher. She was saying, you know, I just took up Krishna consciousness at a young age, always lived in the temple, this, that, and the other. And not until I started, you know, working in the outside world that I realized, you know, it's not simply that like in Krishna consciousness, there are temple presidents who are too heavy and this and that and the other. So what do you get in the working world? I'm my boss now at the school, totally heavy. You know, but when you're just a young devotee practicing Krishna consciousness, you know, you just really get wired up about, oh, this leader's too much on my case, or I can't follow this schedule. And you don't understand, that's the nature of, you know, a working world. And there, you know, what do you get for going through all that austerity? Of course, if you're properly situated and you're giving the fruits of your labors to Krishna consciousness and supporting a Krishna conscious lifestyle, you do get that spiritual satisfaction. But the point is, we have to understand the nature of this world, not the idealistic, not the escapist kind of make a dream world in Krishna consciousness, free of responsibility, free of dealing with reality. Perpetual hippies. We've got to work hard one way or another. That is the point. Simon, if you weren't selling books, you'd be selling something, probably. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Hello, how are you doing? Yeah, we've got the new pots. We've got the new we've got the new carburetors. We've got the whatever. You know, right? How are you doing? How's your day been? Yes, these are the latest TVs with all the technological innovation. Right? You've been something. I just see Yadu Roy at some seeking to get a job at some little vegetarian cafe and mellow and wholesome. Yes, yes. At our cafe we only serve brown rice. No, all our sugar is totally unrefined. Checking out the alternative ladies who come to the cafe. Oh, really? Having a tough time. Yeah, sometimes it's like that in relationships. Being understanding. Yeah. The modes of nature will force us to act. So that's why I like this lifestyle, because you can see it clearly for what it is and decide. Maybe it's too simple for me. It's just every day reading the books, studying the books. You see Prabhu's every day. Well then, analyze your choices. Every day the Hare Krishna mantra. Every day associating with Krishna. Every day hearing nothing but Krishna. I wonder what the bigger world is like out there. You make it clear, Brahmachar life's not for everyone. It depends on how valuable you think you are. It could be. Do you merit putting time into yourself to work on yourself? Do you merit that? So, this is a nice, honest situation. If one tries to make it in this situation, that's a good indication that you'll be a brahmachari for a while, if not all your life, at least for a while. It's highly beneficial. If not, it's also a good indication that, you're going to have to make some adjustments and start thinking about, how you're going to earn a wage and, all kind of things, how to pay the mortgage, which schools to send the kiddies to. It's a respectable ashram. So you get to choose. You ever ask the householders how much reading time they get? Yeah, you ever done that? So my point is not to decry one particular ashram. No, all the ashrams have good, but I'm just saying you have to be realistic and understand your options, what you're going to sacrifice for. Therefore, as Prabhupada writes in the first canto, the Brahmacharya ashram is the best training place for both the attached and the unattached. If you are going to be a householder in the future, this is the best training. If you're not going to be a householder in the future, this is the best training. This household life without controlled senses is miserable. All right. Hare Krishna. So we'll have a program tonight at the other place at 6:30. Hare Krishna. Oh, another day of the same thing. Gray skies. Right? Another day of the same thing. Here we have a negative session. Same people. That's Simon. Another day with Simon. What is Simon? I know. What is music? He's high. Oh, Mike, he's high. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have a negative session, you know? Alright, Hare Krishna. Krishnati maintains. Stapayam. After establishing. Vishvam. The universes. Tiryak. Living entities lower than the human beings. Nada.
The
human beings.
So the
ADP.
By the demigod, the incarnations.
He, the personality of Godhead, as the maintainer of all in the universe, appears in different incarnations after establishing the creation. And thus he reclaims all kinds of conditioned souls amongst the humans, the non-humans, and the demigods. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, incarnates himself in different societies of living entities to reclaim them from the clutches of illusion, and such activities of the Lord are not limited only to human society. He incarnates himself even as a fish, hog, tree, and many other forms. But less intelligent persons who have no knowledge of him deride him, even if he is in human society as a human being. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita, avajananti mam buddha manushim kanavasritam param bhavam ajananto mam buddha maheshwaram. Who knows this verse? 1, 2. As you've already discussed in the previous verses, it is concluded that the Lord is never a product of the material creation. His transcendental position is always unchanged. He is the eternal form of knowledge and bliss, and he executes his almighty will by his different energies. As such, he is never the subject of reactions for any of his acts. He is transcendental to all such conceptions of actions and reactions. Even if he is visible in the material world, the exhibition is only of his internal energy, for he is above the good and bad conceptions of this material world. In the material world, the fish or the hog may be considered lower than the man. But when the Lord appears as a fish or a hog, he is neither of them in the material conception. It is by his causeless mercy that he appears in every society or species of life, but he is never to be considered one of them. Conceptions of the material world, such as good and bad, lower and upper, important and insignificant, are estimations of the material energy. And the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all such conceptions. The words parambhavam, or transcendental nature, can never be compared to the material conception. You should not forget that the potencies of the Almighty Lord are always the same and do not decrease because the Lord assumes the form of a lower animal. There is no difference between Lord Sri Ram, Lord Sri Krishna, and his incarnations as a fish and hog. He is all-pervading and simultaneously localized at any and every place. But the foolish person with a poor fund of knowledge, for want of that parambhava of the Lord, cannot understand how the Supreme Lord can take the form of a man or a fish. One compares everything to one's own standard of knowledge, as the frog in the well considers the sea to be like the well. The frog in the well cannot even think of the sea. And when such a frog is informed of the greatness of the sea, it takes the conception of the sea as being a little greater than the well. As such, one who is foolish about the transcendental science of the Lord will find it difficult to understand how Lord Vishnu can equally manifest himself in every society of living entities. Translation again. He, the personality of Godhead, as the maintainer of all in the universe, appears in different incarnations after establishing the creation, and thus he reclaims all kinds of conditioned souls amongst the humans, the non-humans, and the demigods. Om Agyana Timananda. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I wonder how you all feel about the Bhagavatam, especially if you've read it a few times. As I was reading this verse in purport, I was thinking, now I'm sure you've all heard these points before. They're not novel to you, right? How the Supreme Lord can appear in any society, whether lower animal, human, or whatever. How the Lord is always transcendental in any circumstance. How the Lord, although he appears in a particular species, is never that species. How the Lord remains unchanged and fixed in his position. I was wondering, when I was reading this, sometimes do you react that, oh, okay, I know this already? Yeah, do you react like that? Yeah? Something like that. I know this already, and so what? I want new information? Yes? Yes? Hmm? read something I haven't read before that's got some new angles, some new... Huh? Then I was wondering why could Srila Prabhupada say we don't have enough, you know, years in our life in order to fully immerse ourselves in his books. What would you say about that? Why did Srila Prabhupada say that you don't have enough years in your life? You don't have enough time in your life to fully immerse yourself in his books.
Oh, to understand the full unquote.
Anything else?
Krishna is on that.
So you get the feeling when reading the Bhagavatam, okay, I've read the cantos, now what? You get that feeling?
No, it's not. The thoughts come in the mind like that.
What Srila Prabhupada is doing is over and over again giving us the themes that we should master and assimilate, not simply theoretically, but by realization. That's why he repeats these themes over and over again in different contexts, so they just work their way deep into your heart. It's one thing to know something on the top of your head, some belief, some theology that sits on the top of your head. Oh yes, Krishna can appear in any species and still be Krishna. Like somebody reciting some school knowledge, you know. It's another thing to have that knowledge descend into your heart. The descension into your heart of knowledge comes about through service. What I've noticed over the years is that if you just keep focusing on these themes Prabhupada presents and just really try to enter into them with your intelligence, with your heart, and gradually this knowledge enters into your heart and it becomes very powerful. You see, understanding bhakti is not like learning textbook knowledge in school. Okay, yeah, I memorized 1 plus 1 equals 2. Yeah, in 1700 such and such, Queen Elizabeth was Queen of England. No, it's not like that. It requires the mercy of Guru and Krishna for the knowledge to be realized by you. Prakashate Mahatmana. Also, it's an extraordinary experience for you to realize that you can read apparently the same thing again and again, and each time go deeper and deeper. Once you get that feeling, that realization, then your spiritual life becomes very strong, and your ability to help others in Krishna consciousness will be very strong. Once you get over this conception of material newness and material freshness. Some of you have had that experience of just reading the same purport or verses and purport over and over again, and then each time, like, wow, when will I ever get to the bottom of this? Ever had that feeling? Well, that is what I want you to aim for, because then you'll become strong. Once you start getting that feeling, then you know you're starting to defeat this whole material conception of freshness and sameness. These books are spiritual. What is the Bhagavatam? It's the literary incarnation of Krishna. According to your spiritual advancement, you'll see deeper and deeper into the Bhagavatam. It's not a material textbook. According to your service attitude, your service immersion, you'll see more and more in the Bhagavatam. So I like that everyone here has that opportunity, has that chance. That's necessary if you're actually going to be a brahmachari and go the distance. That's necessary for any devotee, especially for a brahmachari. Because brahmacharis, they just, they don't have any leeway, you know. They're on the straight and narrow path. And the vihastasram is flexibility to grow brand, so to speak. You can kind of, you know, stumble a bit, find your footing, stumble a bit, and find your footing. And, yeah. But if you're going to remain brahmacharis, you have to know how to get spiritual strength and sustenance. The attacks of Maya are very strong. You need that feeling, as I was explaining last night, that in my hour of crisis, in the moment of a great entanglement, I can just pick up Bhagavad Gita and my heart will find all the nourishment it needs. You need that experience. Then you become very solid devotees. Then you move out from the ranks of just the religious believers. You can associate with Srila Prabhupada through his books. That's what he wants. He said his books are better than him. If you want to know him, read his books. So I wish that you all would have a desire to know Srila Prabhupada. But in order to do that, you've got to crack this barrier of material sameness. But I already know this point. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, incarnates himself in different societies of living entities to reclaim them from the clutches of illusion. I know that. What else is new? I wonder how many of you, do you read for new information or do you read for strengthening your heart and your intelligence? If you're just reading for newness of information, then after one or two readings of the Bhagavatam, you know, you read all the esoteric things, Tim and Bill of Fishes up in Solid Wales. You know, you've gotten over all that kind of stuff, you know. Then after that, what to do? It's kind of like Krishna consciousness as a whole. What do you do when the novelty wears off? And you're simply left with the realization that you have a life ahead of just sense control and engaging in Krishna service. You know, once the novelty wears off, the buzz, you know. Yeah. So what I'm trying to get at is a very important issue. I'm trying to face it straight on. When you read, are you reading just for new information? Like you read some kind of material book? Or are you reading for association? Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. That is the difference. I myself, how many times have I read these books? I edited most of them. There's no surprises from the material point of view in these books for me. Yet, I'm just amazed, you know, spiritually, how much more you see in these books. I just get the feeling that I'm just standing on the shore of an unlimited ocean. If you think you know everything in these books, or it's all familiar with you, try repeating these things to someone else. Then you find out. Then you find out. Then you start realizing Prabhupada's empowered genius, how he can make purports that have things for neophytes and things for the most advanced devotees, all in the same purport. Just try trying to repeat with to others. Check your own classes out. I know at first when we started to give classes, because I was working on, I was helping to edit Prabhupada's books, I always had manuscripts of the coming books before everybody else, so I could always give previews in class. Yeah. But then what was I going to do when all the books are out and that advantage disappeared? I couldn't be the one anymore. You know,
And did you know about what happens in the eighth canto? Oh, wow, we don't know. The eighth canto hasn't been published yet.
Anyway, that'd be yeah. It was back in the mid-70s, you know. I used to sit in my office, BBT office in L.A., you know where the office was. And the Sankirtan boys would come back from the airport, and they'd shower and then come to my office before Sundarati. Everyone went to Sundarati then. Sundarati was packed with, like, you know, 200 devotees. Nice. So, then we'd just sit around reading the advanced manuscripts. Advanced, you know, they hadn't been released yet by the BBT. So, yeah, it was, like, exciting. You know, you always felt like we're one step ahead of everyone else. We got the nectar that hasn't been released yet. Yeah, and so on and on like that. Prabhupada will just keep churning out the manuscripts. Will always be one step ahead. But then it came to a stop. Prabhupada's disappearance. So then, what to do? Can you read the same books over again? Read them over again. Read them over again. Yeah, but I know all this stuff. There's no surprises. No hidden esoteric things. What to do? So every devotee reaches this point. And it's a very basic point in Krishna consciousness that you're going to have to work your way through. When there's no more material freshness. This is what separates, so to speak, the men from the boys. How can you handle the lack of material freshness? Spiritually, there's unlimited room. This book is Krishna. But you have to read in that way. You're reading not for material freshness. When you first started reading these books as a non-devotee or whatever, it was a sense of excitement, right? Wow, you like stumbled onto a whole other universe, right? You had that feeling when you first started reading Bhagavad? I remember it was like that. Wow, is anything like this anywhere? So it's exciting, right? You got that feeling too? Wow, what a relief. I remember here I was going to university that costs now the equivalent of $25,000 US a year. And on Friday, I remember, in order to get relief for my mind, I used to just go to some newsstand magazine shop and just get, you know, some comic books. Really, you know, they have these, especially these ones called Other Worlds. You ever seen those? Yeah. Alien Worlds or Other Worlds. Just something out of this world, something different, you know. So here I was, you know, getting a $25,000 a year education at the best university. But when Friday, I remember Friday coming out, I just want some relief from my mind. Isn't there something outside of this world? Okay, here's 25 cents, give me an Other Worlds comic. Anything is just different, you know. It's tired of the geocentric conception that Earth is it and that's all. Then I would get on the bus, take a 2-hour trip to New York City, go into the village, not the regular Greenwich Village, but it was called the East Village. That's the super hip part of the village, the super alternative part of the village. They had one avant-garde jazz band there, Sun Ra. It's Space Orchestra. And they would, you know, play their instruments, and then they'd have singers singing songs like, "Prepare for the journey to outer space. This world is going, going, gone." Yeah, there's a jazz band playing, then this chorus line singing, "If you find Earth boring, it's the same old story. then join United Space Waves Incorporated. I was just looking for relief. There must be something more than this world. I couldn't stand the geocentric conception that Earth is the center of everything. Everything is Earth, Earth. So, when I stumbled upon Bhagavatam, I was like, wow, amazing. A whole another realm, complete in itself. And it all clicked. I mean, all the elements of Bhagavatam Gita just were just a comprehensive whole. So, wow. I remember the first time reading Krishna book. Oh my goodness, I've never seen anything like this. So no one can make this up. Did you have that impression also? It's too much for someone to fabricate. No one could dream this up. No writer could manufacture this. Any of you had that impression? Now what to do though when you've read it 30, 40 times? You're going to have to face that issue. There's no more novelty from the material point of view. Then you're going to have to work to acquire the experience that these are spiritual books. And through devotional service, you're going to see newer and newer things in them. So, each devotee will have to fight his way through this. It's once you do, it's a great achievement. It's a great achievement. Once you realize it's a bottomless ocean of nectar. One way to humble yourself is just try repeating all these things to somebody else. You'll see how much you've mastered. And think deeply, how much do you accept the implications of what you're reading? He, the personality of Godhead, as the maintainer of all in the universe, appears in different incarnations after establishing the creation. And thus he reclaims all kinds of conditioned souls amongst the humans, the non-humans, and the demigods. That means this world is never left alone by the Supreme Lord. But do you see the world in that way? Do you see the world as a place where Krishna is actively always engaged in reclaiming the fallen souls? Through his incarnations, through his devotees? Do you see the world in that way? Can you see the world like that? When you look outside, when you're walking in the city, do you see it that way? There's the point. So your realization has to go deeper. You've got to try to apply what you read. This comes a point when you can't be lazy anymore about reading Prabhupada's books. You've got to really work on putting the text into your heart. There's head knowledge and there's heart knowledge. So you've got to constantly... It's good, okay, put it in your head, yes, but then you've got to push it down into the heart. That takes some effort. Because as soon as you walk out the door, today on Sankirtan, there's the world, separate from Krishna. But actually you should be seeing a place where the Lord is actively working in so many different ways, in so many different species to reclaim the conditioned souls. And you're part of that scheme. I wonder how Prabhupada felt just saying these things again and again. Abhijananti mamudha. But in Vedic culture, repetition is not a fault. First of all, these are Krishna's words. How could you ever get tired of hearing Krishna's words? You can just try it. You can take this verse and just repeat it again and again. Even just the first line to yourself. Avajanati mamudha. Avajanati mamudha. Avajanati mamudha. You won't get tired. Just feel a taste. The nectar start to come in your mouth. You try. You have to experiment in Krishna consciousness. Come alive. These words are Krishna. Just like the Hare Krishna mantras, Krishna's association. When devotees don't understand these things, then they are weak. They remain neophytes. They get caught up in so many things because they don't know how to take shelter of Krishna and treat the holy name and the literary incarnations of the Lord. So this is a very important point for those of you who tend to be serious about Krishna consciousness. You should think about it, this whole concept of material freshness. I need ever fresh new information, like, you know, material entertainment on television. No, these books are giving you spiritual association. And through the spiritual association, you'll see newer and newer lights. That's why it's so good to preach, because you'll be humbled. You think you know it all. Just try to repeat this purport. In my younger days, I would be able to even practically memorize a purport like this and repeat it in a lecture work. I can't do that now, because as you get older, your short-term memory decreases, but your ability to master concepts increases. You can't hold on to as many details as you did when you were younger, but you can grasp concepts and import better. You see the broader picture better. So it's good to start out with it in the head, then you have to push it into the heart. Realization. You can think when you're going out on Sankirtan today, okay, yeah, this information Prabhupada's put in this purport, I know already. Okay, then try to act on this while you're on Sankirtan. You'll see. And then you get humble. They come crawling back to the Bhagavatam at the end of the day. So these are very important points. You see, Srila Prabhupada, as I told you, he said once, I really wonder how many of my disciples actually accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When you actually do that, then what does Krishna say? You're going back to Godhead. So it's a big thing. Janma karma chamaitu evam yavetita. So think about this. Any questions?
Good much. About coming back to one. You said it a couple of times. You mentioned how one time you were at a bus station doing Sankirtan and you saw everyone floating in the 3 minutes of the situation. And that always stayed with me, and I always was inspired by that to keep doing the service that you've given us. And now later on down the track, we were just talking about it the other day, that the difference between sadhana, kripa-siddha and sadhana-siddha, whether or not it's the mercy of guru or if it's our own endeavor, but it seems, are we dealing with a combination of both, that we can understand this knowledge, reading this knowledge, we're trying to apply the knowledge which you're encouraging us to do, but my question is, are we to see it as a combination of both, or just kripa siddha?
Just sadhana siddha is quite all right, because the sadhana is coming to you through the civil succession, so it's actually mercy also. The rules and regulations and instructions of bhakti are the bhakti-lata beads, the seed, and you water that seed through hearing and chanting. So there's nothing wrong with just sadness. One siddha, siddha. So whether you come this way, that way, the other. So it's not, you know, but now we offer all our obeisances to sadness. It's also true that generally elements to varying degrees of kripa siddha are mixed in. Therefore, Prabhupada said if you just go out on sankirtan every day of your life, he told one devotee, one day you'll see Krishna on the streets. That was my ambition. I really took that seriously. Just keep going. I knew in 1975 I had no doubts. If I just do this every day, I'll go back to God very easily. Just go out every day. One day you'll see Krishna on the street. But to get to that point, it's going to take some effort, some perseverance, some determination. So yes, you can see the modes of nature acting. And you'll also see Krishna on the street. So think about this point of material freshness. It's an intriguing point. You can deal with this, then you're dealing with the deep issues of Krishna consciousness. So I'm trying to give you all the chances you have that experience. So here we have our no-frills approach. Just the basics. If you can deal with that, you'll be very strong. Yeah, we can, if you want to just throw in so many decorations and ornamentations, you know, to keep everybody's interest and, you know, yeah. It takes a lot of work. It can be done, but especially if, you know, if you're wearing saffron, you should be dealing with the basic issues of how to survive Krishna consciousness. What are the realities? Rather than just spinning your head with all kinds of, you know, things just to keep you kind of temporarily fascinated. Till you eat your mind with this, till you eat your mind with that. So you don't have to think about the reality that all I have is the holy name. The Shastra, association of devotees, you know. Sure, you've seen devotees whose minds are tiliated, right? They're always on the internet or into this or that. Or, hear about this, hear about that. They never consolidate. And after a while, they kind of drift off into something. I know it's difficult because there's so many different books out these days. You just wonder what, you know, you have time to read them all, should you read them all, this or that. The only thing I recommend for devotees who have read all the Prabhupada's books sufficiently, the you can read Brihad Bhagavatamrita because that's done in a very high quality way. Very high quality. So many of these other translations, because you don't know. You don't understand. You can't just be sure about everything you read. Just because someone puts out a book, translation of this and that, doesn't automatically mean it's, you know, it's all there. Older devotees know, because we talk about it. I talk with my devotees I've known since the beginning, or Sanskrit devotees like that. They can just pick up a book and you miss so many things in this first paragraph. Yeah. But the average devotee just sees these books in bookshops and, oh, nectar or something like that. Yeah. Because you don't know. Yeah, you see, you know, it's Shastra, so. Yeah, there's always something there, but you just don't know whether it's completely on the level. Mm. the only thing I recommend, you know, you can be completely sure, this first class is Brihat Bhagavatamrita for those devotees who, you know, have sufficiently mastered Prabhupada's books. It's done on that very excellent level that Prabhupada wanted of translations. Not that any someone learns Sanskrit on their own, and, yeah, they're going to put out a version of this or that. You know, print a few hundred copies, you know. Most devotees don't know these things. Sometimes everyone gets fooled, just like the so-called Nityananda Charitamrita. You see that? It's not Bhagavan Das Thakur. It's somebody, you know, devotees just got some garage industry publishing, you know, company, you know, devotees, you know, they can whip together things like that, you know. They put out this book and put Vrindavan Das Thakur's name on it. Actually, it's not by. It paraphrases certain things in Chaitanya Bhagavat, but there's also certain things also that are the writer's own conceptions. But the devotees don't know that. Oh, Nityananda Charitamrita, how never. So in terms of translations, I think between Prabhupada's books and I want to supplement Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that will keep you occupied. Any of you have been reading Brihat Bhagavatamrita? That's on the level that Prabhupada wanted. Everything high quality. So if devotees ask me for my instruction, that's what I do. All right.
Maharaj, is that, so you read all the Chaitanya Bhagavat as well?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine?
You're asking me personally?
Yeah.
I personally don't.
Right.
Or if I do, it's very casually. Because as of yet, we haven't had a version that's on the level of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. I was trained up by Prabhupada, so I'm just very discriminative. I mean, casually, yeah, you know what I mean? You get the general gist of the leelas, you know what I mean? But it's not like I rest completely on it, you know what I mean? The versions out now, they're, but there's nothing out on Chaitanya Bhagavat on the level of Brihat Bhagavatamrita.
Is that something that's going to come out later on, do you think?
I don't know. I sort of don't think so. There's already so many versions out, and mainly it's stories, and devotees are already telling the stories, you know. But something like Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it's very deep bhakti knowledge. They especially have to be careful. Prabhupada's books are special. They have the full cooperation of the super soul. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're down, your heart is feeling empty, and you read Prabhupada's books, you just feel Krishna's right there. They're special. So I'm not going to be fanatical and say, I'll never look at anything else. I'm just explaining to you the general situation. you'll become a strong devotee when you get that feeling just by reading Prabhupada's books over and over again, that you have Krishna's association, Prabhupada's association. That's what I'd like for you. So I don't say, you know, fanatically, oh, don't ever read anything. I don't say that. I just say, keep in mind, you know, what's the main meal and what's the side dishes. So. And if indeed you're, you know, wanting to read something else, you don't have that's highly authorized, you don't have that many choices. Turn to Shastra. There's nothing around that matches the level of Brihad Bhagavatamrita in terms of Sanskrit Shastras. All right? Hare Krishna.